Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So Sunday night sometime, I got it Monday morning because us old people go to bed, especially the Sunday, Easter Sunday. But I woke up to a text message that said, hey, I want to share my story at church. And what? And it was Davis. And for those of you that don't know, Davis and I go way back. I guess you were a ninth grader when I started coaching. And so we've spent a lot of time together. I ended up having him in history class and have continued to be close with him and Patrick and his family and some of our other boys, his friends, are here to support him today as well. But Davis has got a story that he wants to share that ties into our walk that we're participating in, that ties in to this beautiful truth that he told me this week. I said, Davis, what's really your goal when you want to share? He said, I want people to know that even in their lowest moment, God's still working. And that even in spite of all of that, that Jesus still died for us. Isn't that beautiful? See, we've been praying for a long time that God would move in our youth. And we typically mean like our teenagers. But God's moving in our college age students as well. So we're excited about that. Before he comes up, I'm going to read some scripture. Then I'm going to turn it over and let him do his thing. So today, we're going to be in John chapter 20, verse 19. I have no idea what page number that is. 883, if you're in the Emmanuel Black Bible, if you're in your own Bible or in the YouVersion app, John chapter 20. If your health allows you, will you please stand? This is a very popular story for the Sunday after Easter, but it says this in verse 19. When it was evening of that day, the day that Jesus arose, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, my peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated and let's pray. Gracious God, Lord, we just ask during this time that you would pour your grace, your strength, your peace upon Davis. Lord, that you would strengthen him and encourage him and let him know how very proud we are. Those that have known him for a long time and this, his church family. So God, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear. We love you and we thank you. Amen.
Good morning. Before I get started, don't y'all ever get jealous that the kids get this wonderful good morning and we just get a good morning? So I'm going to say good morning.
Good morning.
There's two things I want to talk about today. One of them being suicide and mental awareness, and the other being Jesus. And those are the two hardest things for people to talk about nowadays. And it's really hard. So before I get started, on the count of three, I want all of you to say your names out loud. One, two, three.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get back to that later. So I want to thank y'all for letting me speak. Now, for the longest time, I struggled to talk to people, and it was hard for me. So growing up, I had a great family, as they are over there. And one day, we decided to move to Florida. And for most of you know, my mom, Patrick's her favorite. We all know that. We all know that. They're best friends. They're always being. For me, my dad was my best friend. And We struggled for a while, and I saw some things that, as a 10-year-old, I shouldn't see. And for the hardest time, my mom being so strong, I found it hard to tell her things. So one day, I was walking out to our car, and my mom was at a tournament with Patrick, and I saw something, a blouse, and I asked my dad what it was. And he told me that it was just a work event. As I kept thinking, I was like, you know what, I'm 10 years old, like, not that, I mean. So I got more into digging, and the day of my aunt's funeral, my mom was in Florida, and my mom and brother were in Florida, and we woke up late. Well, I was awake, my dad had been eating breakfast. Little did I know, my dad was eating breakfast with someone else. And I couldn't have the nerve to tell my mom that day because she was going through a lot, so I didn't. As times went on, my dad had shoulder surgery. And there'd be times where he was sitting down on the couch and I would take care of him and my mom and brother would be away. And I knew those things that were going on, but I just, 10, 12 years old, I couldn't tell my mom, so I didn't. One day my mom gets a phone call. My dad's at CVS. And I knew what was going on, but she didn't want us to know. But I knew. My dad got in some trouble, and he got out of it. But as times went on, my dad had to go to meetings. And I sat down in the meetings with him. And one day, we're all standing in the living room, and me, my mom, and my brother on the couch. My dad walks in there and goes, ask for a divorce. And watching my mom cry and beg for something that's so broken that will never be fixed, it hurt me inside. And the courage she had to move two boys and herself to South Carolina. And for us to be standing here today is unreal. So as times went on, it's December of that year, and we get a phone call on Christmas Eve. My dad had just gotten married. He didn't call us, and that's okay. We heard it from somebody else. So as times went on, we struggled, and my mom got us through all of that. And I got a baseball scholarship. My brother had his surgery. And at the end of my freshman year, I got drafted, committed to Clemson, and I was at the high of my life. I felt like I couldn't be knocked down. But going into that year, I had arm problems. And I knew that it was going to struggle. So I had my surgery. And for me, never being hurt and always being able to play, I didn't know what to do. But I got through it, and this next year, my grandpa got married, and I go to leave. And me and my dad had been arguing, and nothing had really gotten resolved for the last 10 years. And I go tell him, I love you. And he couldn't say it back. And that day was one of the hardest days I've ever had to go through. Him not being able to say it back killed me inside. But I knew I had baseball to come back to, so I let that go. I wrote a letter to my dad, and I gave it to him during Thanksgiving break, and I didn't hear anything back from him, explaining everything I knew and how the role that has been played had affected a whole lot of other people. And nothing came about it. So I pitched that season, but what most people don't know is, yes, I threw kind of hard, and I was having some success, but the pain that I had in my elbow after surgery was unreal. There'd be times where I'd pitch and I'd come back in the dugout crying in tears because I couldn't go anymore. And it affected my school because I couldn't grip a pencil. I couldn't feel my hand. My arm would sit here and shake. I didn't know what to do. And for the longest time, my mom's faith is what pushed me through. Her words of don't ever give up always pushed me through. But after talking with Sizemore, I decided I'd given up. I didn't want to play anymore. I didn't want to go through the pain of throwing a baseball with having pain. So we made it. I talked to all of them, and I decided I was going to quit. So I drove to Lander, and I was going to talk to Coach Burke after the game. But most of you know I hate the cold. Me being this skinny, me and cold don't go well together. So I ended up leaving in the first because it was 30 degrees and the wind was blowing and raining, and I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to call him another time. Well, I didn't end up calling. Even though I was playing baseball, finally after 2 years, it was no fun. Because of the pain, it made it no fun. So I ended up playing summer ball, and I found love for the game again. But I get the Lander. And For me, within 2 weeks, I got hurt. I was throwing a bullpen, and I came off the mound, grabbed my arm. And I knew what it was. But my coaches were still optimistic, and they wanted me to stick through it. But I knew what it was. So as the time went on, I had surgery. And this is hard for some people to admit, I fell into a time where my faith was no longer there. I blamed God for why would you make it rain that day and me go home if you knew that I was going to get hurt again and not be able to play the game I love? Why would you lead me to write that letter but nothing come about it? And I struggled. I didn't eat. I didn't pray. I didn't do anything for 3 months. I ended up dropping my weight down to 150, and it was hard for me. I couldn't do it. I still wondered why he would make me go through all this until end of the fall. I got my grade report back, and it was bad, the worst it's ever been. And for the first time in 3 months, I prayed, and I started to see light, and I didn't understand why he just now bringing me light now. So we get to the spring, and it hit me. I realized that my team right now is playing in Georgia. Since I redshirted, I wouldn't be here today speaking to you guys about my story and what's going on. I wouldn't be able to participate in the special needs prom that I did. Also wouldn't be able to participate in a lot of other things. I weigh 177 now, and it's something I've never been prouder of. I've kept her words of never give up, keep pushing me through to where I am now. And my faith is higher than it's ever been. And I thank God for that, and I thank all of you that, and for those people for not giving up on me. And one last thing. Remember how you all said your names at the beginning? That's Jesus died for you to say your names, to share your story, and to keep pushing his word on. Thank you. God bless.
Some of you may know, some of you may not. Right before Lander started their season, a lot of teams now do a countdown on social media. And when it got 11 days away, Davis spoke. And he spoke about why he wears the number 11, and it was kind of in memory and honor of a young man that I coached who took his life. And Davis and a lot of these other boys, countless others, have done things to carry on his memory. And Davis and I got started talking about those low points in our lives. You ever had a low point in your life? And your low point may not be depression, okay? I want to say that. You don't have to have clinical diagnosed depression to have a low point in your life. But for some people, our low point in our life is depression. It is a struggle with suicide. It is a struggle with substance and addictions and temptations and things that we would never talk about at church. And so when Davis told me what he wanted to talk about and I started looking at the scripture for today, it became pretty clear that we got to talk about him in church. You remember back to the scripture? I'm not going to read it to you again, but I hope you remember back. The disciples are so scared. Now, they've been told Jesus is alive, but they're so scared of what's going to happen to them because they're associated with Jesus. They've locked themselves in a room. And Jesus, do you think that was the lowest point in their life? I think it was. They gave up everything to follow this man, and they know he's dead. But now they've been told he's alive, but they can't find him. Would you be confused? I'd be confused. I'm confused when I can't find my dog after 30 seconds of calling. So they're scared to death. They're in this room, probably the lowest point of their life. And this is what Davis told me. He said, God still worked when I didn't know he was working. Those 3 months he talked about, God was still working in his lives through you, through his family, through his teammates, through other people in his life. God was still working. So these disciples are scared, and I can't explain it. He's Jesus. He just walked through the door. No key, no doorknob, just here I am. I'm back. That moment had to change everything, so you would think. But Jesus did something in that room that Davis just had the courage to do, and why I'm so passionate about these topics. It said Jesus showed them his hands and his side. Let me translate that for you. Jesus showed them his scars. Do you know the difference between a wound and a scar? A wound has not healed. A wound is still open. It still needs care and treatment. A scar shows I overcame. So when Jesus showed them his scars, he showed them, even at your lowest point, I've overcome it. And then he tells them, he says, not only do I give you my peace, the Father has sent me to you, but now I send you to them. So sometimes we have to share our scars so that other people know that their wounds will heal. We have to show our scars so other people know their wounds will heal. I love the church. I wouldn't be a pastor if I didn't. And when I say the church, I mean the church. You know what I mean? Don't let me get... I'm good. Casserole's not even done cooking yet. But we mess up a lot as the church. You see, we have our own people struggling with things, then they don't feel safe talking about them. And so we've got pastors and Christians committing suicide at an all-time high because they don't think there's any hope left. But church, we're Easter people. That's who we are, and I'm not telling you those feelings aren't valid because I struggle with them still. But God's still working when I can't feel him. He still has showed me his scars, and he said, here's what they tried to do to me, but I'm back, and I'm healed. And then he says he holds the key to everything that could ever hurt us. And he says, I've overcome it. And because of that, so have you. I want this to be a safe place where if you think that when you walk in this place, you got to act like your life is together, you have missed what the whole gospel is about. The gospel is not about perfect people gathering together. It's about broken people finding a Savior, being given something they couldn't get on their own and taking it to other people. But we can't do that if we're not willing to be honest with people. If I can't trust, and when I say, I'm just using me as an example. If we can't trust the person we worship, the risen Savior with, who can we trust? See, this is a sacred thing. The church is a sacred thing, not because we're special, but because we're healed. Jesus said, the Father has sent me to you, and now I send you to go make a difference. There are epidemics in our world that we can't fix. Y'all understand that? Y'all understand we can't prevent, we can't fix the problem of mental health awareness and suicide prevention. We can't do it, but we can be a part of it. See, we can't break the chains of addiction, but we can carry people to God. You see, we can't heal somebody's broken heart when their life falls apart, but we can cry with them and remind them that while we shed tears, the Savior's blood has been healed because he showed them his scars. It's not a real Easter-y sermon, is it? But we've been given a mission. If we really wanted to be honest, like Krispy Kreme donut honest with each other, you know when you're eating a hot now donut, you become more honest with people? Just happens. It's a connection. It's a deep connection. True, right? Huh? Yeah, everything else just fades away, right? These topics have touched more of us than we're willing to admit. Because we think we have wounds, but we really have scars. See, God's always working. And now, because of the courage of a... I would have never have talked about this. How old are you now? You're getting old. At 22, I'd have never stood up in front of a group of adults and ever admitted my life was messed up. Or ever had anything in my life I've had to deal with. But because of his courage, he's thrown a rock in the pond. And what happens to that rock? It creates a ripple effect. Church, that's how we change the world. That's how we bring people to Jesus. One ripple at a time. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.